Blessed. Blessed. Makarios, the Greek, the person in whose heart God himself dwells. The person in whose heart God himself dwells. And as we've talked about for the last several months, these are descriptive words, not prescriptive words. In other words, we don't try and do all these things so that God dwells in us. No, when we give the invitation for God to dwell in us, he begins to do these things in us. And I tried to portray that a couple weeks ago when we had Ellie the elephant up here. And poor Ellie had to be broken like a cracked clay vessel for the true treasure to shine forth. And it was just a little picture of us. As God dwells in us, the true treasure of Jesus begins to shine out of us. Amy, come on up, would you? Gene, you're allowed to come too if you want. Many of you have been praying for Gene and Amy over the last 3 months as they've walked through the tragic loss of their daughter in an accident. And Gene and Amy have become dear friends. And they're trying to figure out how to do life in the midst of all this grief and pain. Monday night, Karen and I were over at Gene and Amy's house, and after we were talking about a lot of different things. And after a while, Gene says, "Why don't you go get that what you wrote today, and show it to Darren and Karen?" And she did. And I've asked her to share it with you this morning.
Died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins and create a new clean heart in me. I do believe you are my Savior, and I now want to live for you as you, Lord, and my God. I pray that I will be filled with the Holy Spirit and I can continue to live as you desire for me to live. I will strive to overcome temptation. No longer let sin control me. I put myself, my life, my future in your hands. I pray that you work in my life and guide me steps that I can continue to live for you for the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Just hold on a second. Gene said, I'm not going to ask you to say anything. But he said earlier in the week, he's like, I'm not going up there. There's no corners to hide in. But Gene was telling me Friday that he's like, I can't articulate that the way that Amy did. But he said, me and God headed out in the mud at Chloe's grave. And he said, I just cried out to God to save me. I said, if you guys want to just bless the church for the way they blessed you, you guys come and share that with us today. I just invite you, let's just stand and pray for Gene and Amy. Elders, would you come up here? This is not an insignificant moment. There's so much grief and pain, struggle, and yet there's this crying out to God, and they're giving faith a chance. Well, God, we're surrounded. Gene and Amy right now as your representatives, just to be your arms around them. And yet, Lord, I almost feel like in some ways it's not even necessary because you have already reached into them and touched them. You have saved them and you're cleansing their hearts. And they have been saved. God, I pray in these long, hard days ahead that your love will just fill them to overflowing. That you would do things in them that they never thought or imagined for your glory and for your honor. God, continue to minister your peace to them. Lord, help us each in this place today. There's so many here that have been representatives of your love to them. I thank you for Andy and Shauna Pepper, Lord, who just continue to pour into them and be Jesus to them. And so many more. God, we praise you today. We praise you. And we glorify your name. It's because of Jesus. Amen. Blessed, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's our text for today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There's a couple things we've got to figure out, I guess. What's a pure heart? And what's it mean to see God? I've really wrestled with this. So I invite you to just go on a little journey with me today, and we'll try and figure a few things out along the way. The word pure simply means clean, free from every admixture of what is false. In other words, undivided. You can't have a number of things together for something to be clean and pure. It means blameless or innocent. Okay, so a pure heart. The heart is really the center of our physical and our spiritual life. It's the wellspring of who we are as human beings. It's our soul, our mind. It's the fountain of our thoughts and passions and desires and appetites and affections and purposes and endeavors. It's just the root of where everything, the fountain, I guess I like to say, of where who we are as a person flows out of. It's our will and our character. Wow. So the heart, our wellspring, needs to be pure, clean, without undivided, if we're going to see God. By the way, now you know why you go to your cardiologist. That's the Greek word there, cardia. See, now you know why you go to your optometrist. Simply to gaze with wide open eyes. It's not peeking around the corner. It's not squinting. The pure in heart will see God. In other words, we will get to gaze on God with wide open eyes. Amen, hallelujah. Well, somehow we've got to explore this thing of what it means to be pure in heart. I've got two bottles up here. This is very simple. It's not complicated. This one says pure, and this one says pure. Which one's pure? Samuel. The clear one. Samuel says the clear one is pure. I need a brave volunteer. Samuel, since you're brave enough to raise your hand, how about you? Joseph? Are you kind of like your brother? You think the clear one is the pure one? You want to find out? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Well, drink it. How's that taste? Good? All right. So you brave enough to drink that one? You're not. If you went into the dandy down here and you were picking up a bottle of water, you think you'd grab that one instead of this one? Are you sure? Are you brave enough to taste it? Oh, I think you are. Here. Go ahead. You said you were brave. You came up here. You're not brave. You're not going to do it. I bet Brad will do it. All right. You sure you don't want some now? So what did it taste like, Brad? Maple? Yeah. Pure sweetness, right? So what we thought appeared to be pure, which is mostly water and a little sugar, was not necessarily as it appeared. Am I right? You catching me? What does not appear to be pure is actually very pure. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference? What? Okay. How did this one get pure even though it doesn't look pure? It went through the fire, right? It went through the fire. Heat. During the heating process, we just sent all the water out through the fan, up in the peak of the roof. We didn't need it. We didn't want it. I get to hang out with Kirk and Kelly in Bedford doing this, and every so often, Kirk gets this little scoop that has a bunch of holes in it, cleans off all the impurities that are coming up. It's all foamy, great-looking stuff, isn't it, Kirk? And you throw that away. What appears to be pure is not always pure. And what appears to be impure is actually pure. And the only difference is the fire, the heat. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Have any of us seen God? Anybody willing to make that claim? Gazed with wide open eyes on God? Yeah. We see God at work in people. We see God at work in Gene and Amy's life. We see God at work in creation. We see God at work when a seed sprouts, becomes a plant, produces fruit. We see God when the sun comes up. We see God at work when the sun goes down. We get glimpses of who God is. We get to glimpse God when Makarios is in operation, when God is living within someone. But we don't get to see and gaze with wide open eyes on God. Can you just imagine gazing on God, into God's eyes, with wide open eyes, and just seeing the source of all the love and the glory and everything that we get these glimpses of, and to gaze with wide open eyes right into the source of all of that righteousness and perfection and holiness and love. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We must reconcile having a pure heart before we can see God. So, we almost always associate pure with what appears to be clear, as I said already, the appearance of being clean. But I've been thinking about, is that really the case? Is that really the case? I'd invite you to think about a few things with me this morning. When we look with physical eyes, what appears to be clean is not always clean. And when we look with spiritual eyes, when I say spiritual eyes that have been touched by the Spirit of God, what is pure may be completely different than what is seen with the physical eyes or the unspiritual eyes. And Jesus had some profound things to say about this. Just want to take a little tour through the scriptures. Jesus was talking to some religious leaders one day. And they always enjoyed debating with Jesus until he kind of like asked them what they thought. And then it seemed like they always got themselves in trouble. Jesus says, what do you think? He says, there was a man who had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, go and work in my vineyard today. And the son said, I will not. But later, he changed his mind and he went. And then the father said to the other son, and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. In other words, I'll go work in the vineyard, Father. But then he didn't go. And Jesus asked these religious leaders who made a big show of looking clean, appearing clean. He says, which of these two did what the Father wanted? The first, they answered. You following me? So one says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do whatever the Father asked me, and then doesn't. And the other one says, no, I'm not going to do what the Father... I'm getting confused. I forget which one I said first. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Sorry. So one does, says no, and then does. One says he will, and then doesn't. And it's the first. Yeah, I'm not even going to try again. In other words, Jesus is saying to these religious leaders, like, you make everything about you look good. You try and do the right things. You try and obey the right things. You make a big show of looking good in front of other people. And you actually say you're going to do these things for me, and yet you don't. And then Jesus says something pretty radical if you really stop and think about it. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors who were not well looked upon in that day, still aren't, and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. In other words, he's saying, what appears to be pure is impure. And what is pure appears to be impure. When we look with physical eyes, when we're not looking at things with spiritual eyes. He's saying that those of you who look clean because of obeying the law, doing all the good things, are not going to get into the kingdom of heaven ahead of those who actually look very impure. That's what Jesus said. That's not what I said. That's what Jesus said. But I'm kind of excited about it because I'm actually more like the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Then he says, for John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Well, what's Jesus talking about here? Well, he's referring back to John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 3. And I'm not going to take time to explain it all, but John the Baptist came a little bit before Jesus, and he was a little different. He's just a different guy. Ben has a name for him. I forget what you entitled that one message that time. Something like the idiot in the wilderness or something. I don't know. But he dressed a little weird, and he did weird things in some respects. But his message was, you know, there's somebody coming that's more powerful than me, that can do more for you than me. And he just began to call people out into the wilderness to repent of their sins and be baptized. And people were coming out of the cities in droves and repenting of their sins. And lots of them were tax collectors and prostitutes and people like me. And they were confessing their sins. So they'd confess, and then Jordan River's over here, and John would just take them over there, and I don't think John could keep up, so he grabs some more people, and they start dunking people in the water. It's time to be baptized after confession of sin and repentance and coming to God. So that's what John was calling people to, repentance and baptism. And then in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 3, he says, but he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, and he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I just want to make a point there. There's some Jewish stuff going on here, but basically when he says, don't think you can kind of hold on to Abraham as being your father, he's basically saying, don't use the excuse that I grew up in the church. That doesn't get you anywhere. Just growing up in the church isn't going to save you. He says, I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. He's basically referring to them as stones. That's how lifeless they are, stones. All their good works and everything without a repentant heart is of no good. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Then John says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. And he's talking about Jesus. Listen to what he says about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I've wrestled with this week. I used to think this fire had more to do with eternal judgment. But when John is saying this, there's a positive. He's saying Jesus is coming. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm probably going to get all messed up because I'm just going to let my notes alone a little bit. God will not share his glory with anything or anyone. And when God puts his Spirit in us, we've got other stuff there that needs attention. And the fire that comes along with the Holy Spirit begins to purify those things out of us. Because God cannot set up residence where there is unrighteousness. And so when I heard Amy say, God, pour your Holy Spirit into me and give me a clean heart. There's fire coming with that, Amy. And it's going to be a refining fire. It's a good fire. It's hot. It's going to look ugly sometimes. In Christ, we are positionally justified and declared innocent. But the fire part is often what we call sanctification. And God, for our benefit, begins to burn the crap out of us. Quite literally, all the junk. Do you know what happens? I described this in the maple syrup process, But you know what happens in repentance? We start finding out stuff about each other, don't we? And we start looking like this to the unspiritual eye. But to the spiritual eye, we begin looking pure, even though we know all this junk about each other. Confess your sins one to another. The Pharisees wouldn't confess anything. They just put another layer of boundary and wall there to make themselves look good. They look pure, but they weren't. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, we know about them, right? Jesus says they're going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of those who think you look pure. You're trying to look pure in your own strength. You following along? We making sense? The purifying of our hearts looks ugly sometimes. What's this chaff Jesus talks about? Did I read that part? Yeah, I did. Everywhere else in the scripture, for the most part that I can find, when Jesus is talking about things that are going to be judged and the harvest, like the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the weeds, is like, just let it alone for now. I'll deal with it in final judgment. But the wheat and the chaff is actually a part of the wheat. It's an integral part of the wheat. It's part of the DNA of the wheat. There's a wheat field. Does that look beautiful? Does it look beautiful? Golden, ripe, and grain. Is it pure? Is it? Is that what you want on your breakfast table? You know, wheat that the chaff has been burned away actually is kind of brown and dull looking. That's pure wheat that you want. See, we get so messed up. We get so wrapped up in appearances and what looks clean and what looks pure. Folks, when Jesus came, he brought the Holy Spirit and the fire. When we repent of sin, when we begin to allow God to cleanse that heart, there's going to be stuff coming out of us that does not look pretty. And it's a good thing. Because why? Who's going to see God? The pure in heart. We've got to go through the fire, the refiner's fire, the fire that just burns out all the junk in us if we're going to see God. That's why Jesus' ministry was more important than John's. John's was a ministry of baptism or repentance and baptism. And now Jesus brings the Holy Spirit and the fire and begins to just, wow, the process starts to happen. As we invite him in, just like Amy and Jean are in the process of doing, inviting him in, and then, wow, look out because all the junk's coming out. You know that, right? And that's a good thing. Don't try and fit in a bottle that says pure and look like this. There's nothing pure about it. It's a bunch of filler. Be okay with being pure. Well, what's our takeaway today? I always love the picture. Like, I'm the guy who on a 74 degree summer day when the sky is blue and the sun is shining, it's not hot, it's not cold. Find me a meadow somewhere, let me lay back in the grass. And that's to me a little glimpse of what Eden was like. So before original sin, Adam and Eve, they fellowshiped with God, they walked with God, they gazed fully into the face of God. They could see God. And then, I'm not sure when for sure, but either after original sin, when Adam and Eve hid and God went looking for them and called out to them, either then or at the giving of the law, nobody could look on God's face anymore. Nobody could gaze with wide open eyes into God's face. God is in the process of redeeming that. Brothers and sisters, God is in the process of redeeming that. And he did that by coming to us. Jesus, on the cross, took your sin, my sin, all sin, before, now, future, on himself. And that began a process of God redeeming everything so that we who believe and allow our hearts to be purified by the Holy Spirit and the fire that he brings can see God. I just talked about Genesis, last chapter in the Bible. Then John's revelation about things to come. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal. We sang about that this morning, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. So there's this river of life that's flowing from God, from Jesus. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. How many nations? All the nations. No longer will there be any curse. In other words, no longer will we not be able to gaze with wide open eyes on God. What do you think of that? No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. And they will what? They will what? Do you want to see God's face? Immerse yourself in the river of life. Allow the Spirit of God and the fire that comes with the Spirit to purify our hearts. It says there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever and ever. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We just scratched the surface this morning. My prayer would be, allow the Spirit of God and the fire that he brings in our lives to keep purifying, to keep sanctifying our hearts. Repent. Just repent. Did you see what happened here this morning when somebody says, I repent? You cheered. We're not afraid as believers in Jesus Christ of purity that comes through fire. But we better be afraid of purity that's full of fluff and has no value. I'm not dumping this one out. This one can go in the trash. Maybe your heart is undergoing a transformation today. You don't even know how to articulate it. But Jesus is calling your heart and you don't know how to express it. Maybe you'd like to tell someone or ask some questions or have somebody pray for you. Maybe you're in need of prayer this morning for healing or encouragement. Maybe it's just simply emotional healing. You're just under the gun and you'd like somebody to pray for you for emotional healing. Whatever it is, come on up. Allow someone to pray for you. Allow God to begin to stir in you his Spirit and his fire. Bring about a purity in your heart. Someday you can see God. Would you stand?